Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Think Research First Quarter 2021 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Sachin Aggarwal, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I really appreciate you joining us today for our first investor call as a publicly listed company. As it is our first conference call, we would, of course, appreciate any feedback that you have and so that we can improve on future calls. With me on the call is our new CFO, Jay Cornelssen, who will review our financial performance for the quarter. Jay's been with us for only a few weeks, and he's done a really tremendous job with shaping our reporting thus far. Jay is already on top of key initiatives like integration, and as he gets further up to speed and continues to upgrade our financial reporting, I think you can expect more financial KPIs to come in future quarters. Today, I'd just like to start by giving you some perspective on our market, on our operational KPIs, and on the quarter. After Jay reviews our financial results, I'm going to give you some perspective on our outlook as well. Considering this is our first conference call, again, please, any feedback that you have would be appreciated. I want to remind everyone that some statements made on today's call are forward-looking in nature and therefore are subject to certain risks and uncertainties, which we outline in detail in our regulatory filings, which can be found on SEDAR.com. Think Research is a global software-as-a-service company that provides actionable clinical knowledge in real time at the point of care for healthcare networks in eight countries. Our software is deployed in more than 2,800 facilities, and more than 300,000 clinicians use our solutions to keep their practices up to date. We also operate a number of clinics which act as a profitable test bed for our solutions and provide a critical feedback loop so we can continuously expand and improve both our knowledge base and workflow solutions to customers around the world. Our solutions solve a large and expanding problem for clinicians everywhere, which is an explosion of unstructured evidence and data from emails to faxes to Google searches and paper manuals at the point of care. Clinicians are wading through all this information to determine the best treatments, and it can take anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20 years for a new best practice to become common practice at the point of care for a single treatment. Our mission is to organize the world's health knowledge so everyone gets the best care. We started trading on the TSX Venture Exchange on December 30th, so this is our first quarter of 2021, and it's our first quarter reporting operations as a public company, and I'm happy to report that it was a very successful quarter by all measures. On January 29th, we closed two key acquisitions. First, we announced the acquisition of MDBriefCase, a highly strategic acquisition that adds to our knowledge base and extends our software capabilities to include online clinician education through CME, or continuing medical education. Once fully integrated, MDBriefCase strengthens our offerings to new prospects and allows us to capture more share of budget from existing clients, including pharmaceutical companies. We're already winning new MDBriefCase deals from existing clients, and as our integration continues over the next few quarters, we anticipate leveraging more value from this transaction. Second, we announced the acquisition of Clinic360, a private elective surgery clinic in Toronto. This profitable operation is a live test bed for our knowledge and connectivity software solutions. It also gives prospects a primary example of how our software and solutions can be used to dramatically improve patient outcomes, patient flow, and cost effectiveness. On a combined pro forma basis, these two acquisitions add about 14 million to our trailing 12-month base of revenue. In addition to the acquisitions of MDBriefCase and Clinic360, we also attained some key commercial milestones during the quarter, which give us confidence for the remainder of the year. Think hit a milestone of 250,000 digital referrals during the quarter, Digital referrals are an increasingly valuable set of workflows that allow us to connect healthcare professionals together in real time to streamline patient care. The adoption of this solution continues to gain traction in key markets, and we're confident that it will become an increasingly important feature for clinicians to use. This solution has also been highlighted in an Ontario healthcare campaign called Axe the Facts. We also announced a partnership with CareRx to deploy virtual care telemedicine solutions in retirement homes across Ontario and eventually the country that serve up to 50,000 residents in hundreds of facilities. CareRx recently completed an acquisition that adds even more facilities to this opportunity. We anticipate solid uptake of our solutions over the next few quarters through this partnership. Think also entered the Iceland market through a partnership with a local EMR partner, Origo, to provide solutions to the four acute care hospitals and dozens of clinics and long-term care facilities across the country. With this announcement, we expanded our global footprint to 8 countries. I'm also pleased to say that we reported a record $8.4 million of revenue for the quarter, which was ahead of our expectations as well as published guidance provided earlier. The majority of our revenue is derived from software, and the remaining comes from our clinics. In essence, the quality of our revenue streams was excellent as we exited the quarter. And with that, very pleased to introduce Jay Cornelson, and he's going to review our financial performance in Q1 in greater detail with you. Jay?
Yeah, thank you very much, Sachin, and good morning, everyone. This morning, I will review our financials based on some key line items in the financial statements. For more details, please refer to our MD&A and financials posted earlier to SEDAR. All figures are reported in Canadian dollars. For Q1 2021, we report the following. Revenue for the quarter was $8.4 million, a 44% increase over $5.8 million reported in Q1 2020. When compared to the $3.6 million for Q4 2020, revenue increased by 135%. During the quarter, we recognized 2 months' worth of revenue from both MD Briefcase and Clinic 360. As mentioned by Sachin, total revenue came in ahead of our published guidance of $8 to $8.3 million. This is due to increased uptake of our solutions across all lines of business during the quarter. Gross margin for the quarter was $5.3 million, a 29% increase compared to $4.1 million reported for Q1 2020. Gross margin increased primarily due to additional contributions from the recent acquisitions. Gross margin as a percent of revenue for the quarter was 64% compared to 71% reported for Q1 of the prior year. The variance in margin is due to a change in product and revenue mix due to acquisitions completed in the intervening period since Q1 2020. Specifically, the acquired clinics operate at a lower gross margin than the software business. We anticipate gross margin to expand over time as our global software footprint grows at an expected pace faster than our clinical operations. Total operating expenses, excluding non-cash share-based compensation and depreciation and amortization, was $7 million, a 50% increase over $4.7 million for Q1 2020. The increase in expenses is due primarily to the addition of additional operating expenses from the recent acquisition and incremental reporting and compliance costs related to being a listed public company. Adjusted EBITDA loss, a non-IFRS measure, was $1.5 million compared to a loss of $0.5 million for the equivalent period in the prior year. Adjusted EBITDA increased by $1.3 million compared to Q4 2020, primarily due to the acquisitions, in addition to synergies realized during the period. Adjustments to EBITDA include stock-based compensation, one-time transaction-related expenses, premium paid on the redemption of Class A preferred shares, and foreign exchange adjustments. Net loss was $5 million for the 3 months ended March 31, 2021, compared to a loss of $1.6 million for the equivalent period in the prior year. The decrease in net income was primarily due to stock-based compensation, $1.3 million, and costs related to the acquisitions completed during the period. The net loss per share for the quarter was 12 cents compared to 6 cents for Q1 2020. As at March 31, 2021, we had 6.7 million of balance sheet cash. I will now hand it back to Sachin for closing remarks ahead of Q&A.
Thank you, Jay. I think there's a few fundamental themes to consider when investors think about our outlook. First, we are a transformed company from where we were at the end of last year. The acquisitions that we've made strengthen and diversify our offerings to health networks in all of our markets. The first-hand applications of our solutions in our own clinics help us to inform the future. The intellectual property and the online education capacity gained through our acquisition of MD Briefcase diversifies our software revenue streams. It also gives us solutions to strengthen our bonds with our clients and the clinicians who use the software. The expanded product suite helps strengthen our value prop to make us unique and essential to both new prospects and to our partners. We're also seeing exceptional cross-sell opportunities emerging amongst our solution set. Already, we've seen early cross-sell success between Think and MD Briefcase. But we are not stopping there. COVID-19 has helped to clarify the urgent need for healthcare systems all over the world to provide clinicians with the tools in real time at their fingertips to deliver better health outcomes to patients, regardless of where they are. We see this as an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to redefine the limitations of care. For example, we're ramping up efforts to deliver recently launched virtual care telemedicine software. Virtual care is a digital health communications platform that connects patients to physicians through video, phone, and secure messaging, allowing patients to book and consult with doctors remotely. Our sales pipeline is growing both directly and through partnerships in all lines of software. As demonstrated by our expansion to Iceland and recent growth in the United States, channel partners are becoming increasingly important part of our organic growth. As a result, we will invest more time and effort to expand and cultivate partnerships over the coming quarters, especially internationally. We continue to search for strategic assets that will make our data more valuable, improve connections and workflows between systems, and expand our reach globally. Most of you will have heard me talk about the clinical knowledge lifecycle and how we intend to close that feedback loop by using data to create new evidence and insights through research. Expect us to continue to assemble these pieces to meet that goal. As we integrate our recent acquisitions, we are undertaking to clarify and simplify our branding as well. This will help all constituents that we communicate with, whether customers, users, partners, employees, or shareholders, to better understand our value proposition, our offerings, and our culture. The quality of our revenue is extremely important to us. As we continue to scale organically, we anticipate that growth in software revenue should outpace growth in clinical services revenue over the coming quarters, resulting in a higher proportion of recurring and software-driven revenue in the future. Think is in the middle of a revolution of data for healthcare, and we believe that we're uniquely positioned right now, especially as a public company, to seize the opportunity ahead of us. Our mission, again, is to organize the world's health knowledge so everyone gets the best care. Speaking for all of us at Think, we really could not be more excited about the future. And with that, operator, if you don't mind, please opening the line for analyst questions.
As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from the line of Rob Goff with Echelon.
Good morning, and congratulations on the strength of the quarter. My first question would be on Clinic 360 and the momentum within the quarter, in that if we're correct, the trailing 12-month revenues at time of acquisition was sub $4 million, but in looking into the quarter, it would suggest something pushing towards 8. Can you talk to that, Valencia?
Thanks, Rob, for the question. Well noted, and yes, we're seeing significant momentum in respect of Clinic 360. I'd note a few things. As a consequence of COVID, the elective surgery backlog in the public health system is, depending on the procedure, can be many years at this point, right? So combining that with our capabilities in respect of digital referral here in Ontario, we are able to really maximize on the reach and capabilities and revenue from Clinic 360. And so this really is a demonstration of how you can marry your software with the capabilities of bricks and mortar to drive better revenue, better top line, and ultimately better bottom line.
Because, and if I could use that as a segue into the momentum within your digital referral platform, could you talk to what you've seen in the quarter, what your expectations might be?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again for that, Rob. I think it's clear in the era of COVID that fax is no longer an effective or a justifiable method of communicating between clinicians, right? And so we have seen month-over-month growth in our e-referrals utilization and the number of users continuously over the last few years, right? And that has not stopped in Q1. It continues apace. And we are expecting material significant growth in that over the coming quarters as well. I'm not going to give any specific usage or user numbers at this point, but we're very, very pleased with the results of that particular program and software.
Okay. Thank you. I will jump back in queue.
Thanks, Rob.
Cheers.
All right. Our next question comes from the line of Neil Bakshi with Canaccord Genuity.
Hi there. Good morning, Sachin and Jay, and thanks for taking my questions and congratulations on the inaugural earnings call. So my first question, I was wondering about the recent momentum in BC and Ireland. Just wondering how that fits into this trailing $36 million run rate and the organic growth outlook. Do you see it as additive to it, or does that fit in with that trailing run rate as it was in the last update?
Yeah, at this time, and I'm sorry, I didn't hear part of the question. Did you say BC and Ireland?
That's right.
And yeah. So at this time, we would say that those are part of our trailing run rate. And while we expect more in the future, at this point, I think you should consider it part of our trailing run rate. I would say, sort of relatedly, that we do have now, on a combined basis, we've got feet on the street or salespeople in multiple international jurisdictions. We have a dedicated sales staff on the ground in the U.S., in Ireland, in the U.K., in the Middle East, where we now have quite a significant group of sales folks focusing on Saudi Arabia and the Emirates. And also a really significant, I'd say, team for a company of our size in focused on Australia and New Zealand. So thanks for that, Neil.
Okay, and just a question then about operating expenses. You touched on the level of investment growth to be elevated in the U.S. and international markets, as you just mentioned. I'm wondering then, looking at OPEX in Q1 uptick from Q4, should we be seeing this kind of OPEX as the new level setting for future quarters? Just wonder if we can get more color on how to look at the Q1 numbers in the context of synergies and investment for driving organic growth.
Yeah, thanks. And we continue to focus on realizing synergies in the quarter. And, after approximately 6 months, we want to be at a full run rate, having achieved synergies. We did achieve some synergies in the quarter, but still have some work to do. As far as OPEX goes, as Sachin mentioned, largely our OPEX is fixed. We do have some variable costs and continue to invest in organic growth as far as the sales field, but largely our operating expenses are fixed, and as we continue to grow and expand, should become a smaller percentage of revenue.
Excellent. I'll pass the line. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Davin Fairweather with Cormark.
Hey there. Good morning.
Hey, Gavin. Morning.
I thought I'd start out on MD Briefcase. Maybe you could provide us with an update on how the integration of that acquisition is moving along, and then also kind of some of the moves that you're making to kind of shift or enhance the commercial model of that platform.
That's great. Thanks, Gavin. So the first level of synergies, so cost synergies, are well underway. We still have more work to do. We're building a number of shared services that will service not only Think Research and MD Briefcase, but all of the acquisitions and future acquisitions. And so as Jay says, we're making some mashed potatoes here. So expect it to take a little bit of time, but we've made very good progress in Q1. In terms of new product offerings on a combined basis, we are also making very good headway on that. So as I think I've mentioned previously, layering in an enterprise software model for MD Briefcase is a top priority for us. And bringing in-house the learning management system so that we're generating new intellectual property on it is also a top priority for us. So expect those things to continue and for us to have more to say on that in short order.
That's great. And then just secondly, on the CareRx partnership, can you help us understand how the sales process works and then also how the pipeline is building of opportunities within their base?
Yeah, so for CARE, we're super excited about this particular partnership. And just before I answer your questions, just a reminder that, you know, this partnership is enabled by the integration of the various assets that we've acquired already, right? So Think Research, we've got a telemedicine platform, a virtual care platform, but without the clinicians from Healthcare Plus and 360, we would not have been able to offer this particular product, right? And it will be enhanced over time also with our digital referrals product, right? So it is a good demonstration of how you can bring these assets together to enable something that's greater than the sum of its parts. In respect of the specific questions, we're in the early stages of deployment of this particular product and offering in combination with CareRx. So we've got a number of homes that are live, and we're getting rapid feedback from those homes on how to tweak the program, maximize the program, make it the most efficient for the residents of those retirement facilities, so that they really value it, they enjoy it, and it improves their quality of care. So we're really focused on that in the first stage. The sales process in terms of adding new homes, and we do have a lineup of new homes that are ready to go live. The sales process involves CareRx communicating with their client base. Suffice it to say, there's a lot of excitement from the homes, and so it's a pretty easy sales process, I have to say. And then, of course, we work with them in order to be able to communicate the offering to those retirement homes, and most often retirement chains. And then we're building an onboarding package and tweaking an onboarding package to make sure that the deployment is smooth as we bring on those additional homes. So, again, on that one, expect us to have more to say in the coming quarters.
Great, appreciate that. And then maybe just lastly for me, for Jay, can you remind us on the deferred revenue timing, just in terms of how the billing cycle works with government and how to think about that from a seasonal perspective?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the deferred revenue, typically Q1 is a bit slower. In Q2 and Q3 and subsequent quarters, we should have larger receipts and then more deferred revenue, but it's just kind of the timing with the government. So that's kind of, there is a bit of seasonality in the business, but as we continue to grow and expand, you should see that start to decrease as becoming a factor in our business, just because we have been transformed and have had record revenue in quarter.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, maybe just to layer on an additional sentence or two there. So government fiscal year end is March 31st, right? And the government fiscal year starts April 1st. So a number of our legacy contracts and some of our larger contracts peak at that point. And so we draw down deferred revenue through the year, and then it'll spike again in and around April 1st, April, May, June.
Makes sense. Thanks.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Anthony Schifano with Caldwell Securities.
Hey guys, congratulations again on the quarter. Sorry if I am repeating anything, but just wanted to, get the simple answer here, and I know you don't provide any guidance, but can there be an expectation of EBITDA positivity in the next year or so?
Yeah, so right now, our adjusted EBITDA is trending in the right direction. As we continue to gain synergies, in the coming quarters from the acquisitions, we expect significant EBITDA improvements. Our time frame to positive adjusted EBITDA somewhat depends on our investment priorities related to growth, but the time frame should be measured in quarters, not years.
Okay, awesome. Thanks so much.
Welcome.
Our next question is a follow-up from Rob Goff with Echelon.
And thank you again. Could you discuss your rollout timeline in Iceland and perhaps more broadly, would this be a stepping stone to a ninth country representation?
Yeah, thanks Rob for that. We are already well engaged with the government of Iceland, and you can imagine with a single medical records provider across the country, our partnership with Origo was done with parallel discussions with the ministries of health and in Iceland, right? So it wasn't done independent of that. So as a consequence, we have a pretty tight and aggressive timeline in terms of deployment. I would note that as a consequence of COVID, enterprise rollouts are choppy. They're a bit sort of start and stop, right? Hurry up and wait kind of deployment. So we're not going to give a particular timeline on it because of the uncertainty as a consequence of COVID, but I will say it's underway already. In terms of adding additional countries, Origo is a large player in some of the Nordic countries, right? And so yes, you can certainly, we are very keen to be able to enter those countries using this same partnership. And that will be our model in a lot of other countries. So, you know, it's important to recognize that the medical records companies and hospital information systems that are dominant regionally around the world are not the names that you might be familiar with from the U.S. market, right? They're very often the top 1, 2, 3 players are local or regional players in many of these markets. So the Origo partnership is an example of what you need to do to be able to become a material player in some of these other regional markets outside of North America.
We're good. Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer session. I will now turn the call back to Sachin Aggarwal for closing remarks.
All right, folks, thank you. And thank you very much to our operator, Raquel. And thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. You've made our first conference call just a pleasure to do, and you've been kind and gentle on us, so we very much appreciate that. We wish you safe and very healthy times. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.